Well, the reports tell us that we had a riot, and that different factions of the audience, and it does seem that they were divided into factions. There was a sort of a pro-Stravinsky and Ballet Russe faction, and an anti faction. Whether or not it was preordained, and there's some suggestion that there might have it might have been sort of set up a little bit, I could well imagine that a Parisian audience used to the world of classical ballet and having enjoyed it with the Ballet Russe, who, you know, had presented all the great Tchaikovsky ballets and with the Cours de Ballet and all the elegance that came with that. But with the Rite of Spring, Stravinsky really bit the bullet, the artistic bullet here, and sort of went off the beaten track. He went into a world, a musical world, a sound world, and also subject matter, which required a new approach. It demanded, I think, from him, and he was the best possible person to respond to it, a reevaluation of what an orchestra can do, what music can express.
So what's the story that's being told that requires all of this mysterious,
it's a very simple tale based in some degree of folklore, but it goes back way before our time into the murky, distant, sort of pagan, primitive past, starting with the rebirth of nature. So literally the emergence of spring. And so imagine it in the days before the big cities, when people were utterly dependent on the sun coming up in the morning for their survival, and the sun actually warming the earth in order to bring a rebirth of spring each year. And so, for, you know, it was no accident that those peoples celebrated the solstices, the summer and the winter solstices. And
so what happens in Act Two?
So the human element, it starts with the adolescent youth, and in the same way as spring emerges, Stravinsky talks about the pervading puberty of life, the life force, through the whole of Part One. And so you have these young boys and girls, and they dance, and it's tremendously evocative, it's very powerful. We have sort of battles of rival tribes, rival factions, a sort of prehistoric gang warfare going on. Then you have what I find is perhaps the most haunting music in the whole work, which is the evocation of the sages, the elders of the tribes, and how there's an unquestioning respect and regard for the sages. That's almost the only still, quiet music in the whole work.